Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pass me a bottle. Oh,
man, if I can even tell you why we're late from that break.
No, do not.
That entire thing took place while the music for the segment.
Tell me about it. It just, I tried to ignore it, and I couldn't. Before we talk to Dave here, let me give a heartfelt thank you to Hancock and Kelly, who filled in for us all last week, and really, really appreciated. Thank you so much, John and Michael. Rest in peace, Olivia Newton-John. That's really, that's sad. Rach has two microphones in front of her, like she's giving a press conference.
Okay, now it's on. I switched mics on Andrew. It's nobody's
fault. I didn't realize that she had switched mics, so okay. It was actually.
It was cute. Looked like she's about to address the nation.
I'm here to announce the passing of Olivia Newton-John.
I'm really bummed about that.
Me too.
Grease, we watch, obviously. And then we used to put on roller skating shows to the Xanadu soundtrack. I mean, she was a big deal in my childhood.
For sure.
Yeah.
She's a big deal in my puberty.
Roller skating show.
We literally went from one end of the basement to the other, but acted like it was a dance routine, and then made our parents sit there and watch it to Xanadu.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
There was this, you and your sisters?
It was the neighbors.
Okay.
My sisters and the neighbors. There were like eight of us.
Were you like the young, were you like the Michael Jackson of the group?
This is what she did on vacation last week.
Yeah. Made up roller skating shows. I loved Grease, though, obviously. Everybody loved Grease. I remember seeing that at the drive-in.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Watching Olivia Newton-John, the last thing on my mind was roller skating.
Well, Xanadu was a roller skating movie, was it not? There were roller skates
involved. Yeah, I'm talking about as a guy.
Dave can't even not be a creeper when someone dies.
Now, 73, too. Really young.
Yeah,
she was
for sure.
Really young. But I think, didn't she have a form of cancer?
Yeah, she had breast cancer. And it set a 30-year journey with cancer.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. 30 years. Okay, so
welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it. So
glad
more...
you had a good vacation too.
Yes. Grandson in town.
Oh, fun!
You guys done?
How old is your grandson?
2.5 years old.
Oh, I bet that's a fun age.
Oh, it was awesome.
Why?
Was
why? Awesome. Why? Why? Isn't that the age?
There's some of that. There's also I don't know. You ask him a question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What does he call you?
Well, he is two.
Grandpa Dave.
Oh.
I'm Grandpa Dave.
Just waiting for the Cracker Barrel gang to be over here. So,
stop.
So what are we looking at tonight?
Another front's coming in. It's a real slow mover. In fact, you could make a case that it has stalled just to our north. Probably not going to kick much here for a while. There's quite a bit of thunderstorm activity in, let's say, South St. Louis and points south from there. But there should be some redevelopment around all of St. Louis and a little bit to the north with this front. It's going to be waving around all night. So there's rain and thunderstorms, heavy rain at times, a lot of lightning. I don't see a lot of severe weather, meaning that, tornadoes, damaging winds, large hail. But there will be heavy rain at times, some flash flooding possible again, and a lot of lightning. That heaviest stuff is this evening and overnight. It starts to taper off as we go through tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and noticeably cooler by a good 10 degrees. 82 on Tuesday. Wednesday looks like a delightful day. I think the humidity will drop off a little bit. Partly to mostly sunny skies, 83. Another front pushes in on Thursday. That will spike our temperature up to about 88. But only a slight chance of a pop thunderstorm. Not a lot of moisture to work with. Friday and Saturday, partly sunny and nice. 79, 80 degrees for the high Friday and Saturday. And Sunday, partly sunny and 85. So pretty good stretch nice. Coming up once we get through tonight and early tomorrow morning.
Dave Murray's forecast is brought to you by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling.
Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. You can earn points and save money with the Schnucks Rewards app. Download it today. And I wanted to let you guys know that all Schnucks locations are participating in a week-long food drive called Shop Out Hunger. It starts today, and it goes until next Monday, August 15th. Some of the most needed non-perishable items include peanut butter, pasta, canned goods, and cereal. So every single Schnucks location will have a donation bin at the front of the store. You can also look for collection volunteers, and those donations are going to Operation Food Search.
Nice.
United States has pledged $1 billion more dollars for rockets and other arms for Ukraine, bringing the grand total in security assistance by the Biden administration to Ukraine to roughly $9 billion since late February.
When do you guys think we should stop? Do you think we should? Do you think there's
where
like...
Where are we getting that money? That's what I want to know. Where is that coming from? Are we just making it up?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that at the beginning, like... We're giving this until what? Like, yeah. Is this indefinitely? I mean, because it doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon.
I think it's indefinitely. They asked President Biden that question, and he said, until it's over. So,
which could be what, years?
Sure.
I mean, could be.
Yeah, no, it could be. It literally could be years. Yeah.
But it's in our best interest?
I mean, people differ. I think it's in our best interest, but I also am like Dave, like, where's the money coming from? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things I'd like to put $1 billion towards. But this latest one that, and I don't know a great deal about it, the inflation recovery, whatever it is, almost another $1 trillion. Like, I didn't go to school for economics, but I know that when I'm out of money, the answer isn't spending more money. Mm-hmm. But somehow that's the answer now. So just who knows?
It never, I have a very small grasp on how any of this works, if any grasp. But when all those checks come due, what happens?
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. Like, we just, like you said, keep spending money, and then what happens when we need to?
Well, we can all relate having, let's say I have $20,000 in credit card, and you're just making the minimum payments. And it's just going to keep going and getting bigger. That's what we do as a nation.
Yeah.
We just put a little something on it. We just make the payment. We're not actually paying it down, as I understand it.
All right. So CPAC Dallas was this past weekend. And the majority of folks who were attending hope that Donald Trump will run in 2024. They released a poll of 1,000 people who were attending the conference. Of those, 69% said they would vote for Donald Trump in the 2024 primary in their home state. Ron DeSantis was second at 24%, and Ted Cruz was third at 2%.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the next 5 to 10 years, because I have just accepted that Donald Trump has taken over the Republican Party, just has. Marjorie Taylor Greene, up-and-coming star, is saying that she has Alex Jones's back, and everyone should. Like, the Republican Party that we grew up with, the Republican Party of 10 years ago, is just gone. Now, maybe you'd say the same thing about the Democrats, but I don't think that they've changed as much as the Republicans. But where do the old Republicans go? You know, where do the Mitt Romneys of the world go? Or the Mies of the world go? Do you go to the Democrats because they seem to be going even farther left? I'm not going to hold my nose and vote for Trump or someone like him. Like, it's really going to be fascinating. Do we get a third party? Do we get a fourth party?
He really is, though, an enigma. And when he is no longer able to run, physically able to run, he's not an option.
Yeah, there's not another one.
I wonder if it just goes back, because even the people who say they are like him or they agree with everything he does. They don't have that whatever he has.
I agree.
That charm, that I don't know what it is. They just don't. So I wonder if it just kind of peters out after that.
Yeah.
So grocery delivery is falling off as prices rise. Inflation and premium charges are driving consumers back to stores. You guys ever do grocery delivery?
Mm-hmm. No. I tried it one time during COVID. Sorry, Dave Murray, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
no, that's fine. No was my answer.
I didn't. Nope, that's it. I didn't order a lot, and it put in a tip for me, which I would have put in a bigger one. And it was a very small tip is what I'm trying to say, and nobody would take it. Or somebody would take it, and then they would, and it was like 6 hours later, I'm like, I am never doing this again. It was just a hassle.
I feel you. I did it a couple of times because Chinook's offered like free delivery through Instacart for a promotion a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, and it was pretty convenient. But then it's also like, I don't mind going to the grocery store, and if I can save myself $20 from not paying for a delivery fee and a tip, I'm probably just going to go, you know, in these inflated times.
I'm a weirdo about certain, like, I want to pick out my own meat.
Yeah, I feel
and
the same
I want to pick out my own fruit and veggies.
And
shop
the
specials, too. Shut up. I knew it. I knew it. What? You two are looking at each other. I knew it.
Nothing.
Just no stop such thing. It. I should have said hamburger.
Dave just moved the bell closer to him.
Right.
Okay. The angriest country on earth. Would anyone like to take a guess?
Us.
Is it
according to Gallup's latest global emotions report? It is not us.
Is it France?
It is not
what
France.
What do they have to be upset about?
I don't know. They seem like an angry people.
Not Brazil.
How about Brazil?
It's actually Lebanon.
Oh.
The five angriest nations in order. Trish.
Are you surprised?
The representative of Lebanon. Right. Speak for them, Trish. Where Lebanon, Turkey, Armenia, Iraq, and Afghanistan were the five angriest nations. The United States came in at number 71 in the anger rankings. I definitely thought we were going to be higher up than that.
I wonder how they do that.
It's a great question.
Walk down the street and see who yells
at
you.
I know for like the opposite, they have those smiley faces, you know, just like emojis, and they just show them to people and they point to one.
So this analytics company who the Gallup people, they looked at 100 nations and found that 49% of the 1,000 or so respondents in Lebanon surveyed in 2021 felt anger on the day before they took Gallup's survey. So it was like, have you felt anger recently?
Gotcha.
So I don't know. Maybe they just caught him on a really angry day.
Right. Maybe something really bad happened in Lebanon that day.
Feels a little unfair.
Yeah.
Don't we all feel anger at some point in the day, though? Like that's a pretty normal, even if it's just like a little road rage or
you
something.
Think every day you get angry.
Not like angry, like I'm gonna lose my mind and I'm so upset, but angry like some guy is in traffic. You know, driving the left lane real slow or something, and you're like, get out of the way.
I made a note on vacation because I spent so much time in the airport that everyone seems hangry, which is a very special form of anger to me. Mm. It's just, you know,
they're hungry and they're
just everyone just seems like at their end of their fuse.
Yeah.
I saw something on the internet the other day that it was like, if you feel like everyone hates you, take a nap. If you feel like you hate yourself, take a shower. And if you feel like you hate everyone, you should eat something.
Wow.
And I thought, that's kind of accurate. I mean, it's not going to cure you every time, but if you're in like a bad emotional state and you're like, oh, I hate everybody, maybe you just need to eat something and you'll feel a little better.
If I took that advice, I'd be 400 pounds.
That's all my stories, Dave.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got it.
425 DGS, one of Nick's college roommates is here at WashU, brilliant kid, getting his PhD and his law degree, and he works on circadian rhythms, you know, the way our bodies wake up and go to sleep and all that. I don't think he discovered this, but a new study came out that said, you know how some people are like, I'm just night owl, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can say that if you want to, but your brain is designed in such a way that, you know, the old saying, your mom and dad, like, nothing good happens after midnight. You are not made to be awake after midnight. That after midnight, your brain becomes riskier. it is uninhibited, like you're drinking alcohol, and you also have a darker view of life. Like we've talked, Rachel, you and I have talked ad nauseum about like the 4 a.m. demons come calling and the willies and all that kind of stuff. Everyone knows what that's like. And now they're saying, well, this is why. Because after midnight, you are not supposed to be awake. And if you are, it's not like the world's going to end. But if you do, the more you do it, the more often you do it, the longer you stay up after midnight on a regular basis. We're not talking about going to a wedding and drinking and dancing. We're talking about the way you live your life. The more damage it does to your brain and your psyche. But that was interesting.
So I'm going to ask her really, how does your brain know that it's past midnight? I mean, other than you thinking it. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it just when the sun goes down and the moon's out?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it's just the rhythms. Like, it's just the rhythm. Even if you were in a room with, you know, no sunlight or anything, your brain still tries to follow the same types of rhythm. And that's one reason, like, why you keep people up when you're torturing them, like Guantanamo Bay and things like that, is and you don't let them see the sun. You don't let them see that it's nighttime. You take away all their time pieces, and it just drives people crazy. Mm.
I mean, that's really bad news for people who work overnights or
exactly
early morning people.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
Like part of the reason, like, you know, I sometimes say like, oh, I was afraid of my dad. I think he did shift work at Shell, like your brother Big Dave does, and he just didn't handle it well. And I don't think I would handle it well. Mm-hmm. But how many times have I said to you guys, like, thank God I didn't go to med school because I would not, or become a soldier. Like, I do not handle stuff like that well. We got big. Welcome back, guys. DGS and Camo X. First day back from vacation, 4:39. Going to do the Sweet 16, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet. Skip is finally back in with us. Good to see you.
Oh, great to be here.
You've always been a rambling man. Like, you've always had a flight a week, as long as I've known you.
Yeah, we jump around a lot.
So I just flew to Florida and back, had a terrible delay on the way down, just drove me crazy. And you fly 2-3 times a week sometimes. How do you manage it?
Often delays. Well, okay, so a couple weeks ago, one of the weeks I missed, I went to L.A. for Chevrolet, and maybe we'll talk about that later, what I saw out there, and did a little meeting out there. And then I had to fly back. That was on Monday morning, fly back on Tuesday, and then flew to Denver on Wednesday for a wedding. And two of those three flights were horribly delayed. And like going out to L.A., I had about an hour and a half in Phoenix layover. And by the time we left, I had 2-minute layover. I mean, it was scheduled. They got made up some time, and I just, but you know, just it's nerve wracking. But once you're on the plane, then you go, ah, I'm here.
Yeah.
And then coming back, I was going to get back at like 11 o'clock and be able to get a decent night's sleep, and I got back at 1:30 or something.
Gotcha.
And had to get on the plane the next late morning. So almost all the planes are delayed somewhere or another. I mean, I'm just glad when they're not canceled.
Yeah. I spoke to a pilot who was, white hair, probably mid-60s. And when he finally opened up to me, he was like, it wasn't like this 40 years ago. Like, with all this technology, we're somehow screwing it up worse.
Well, it's personnel. I mean, I keep getting told that we've got planes, we don't have crews for them. Like the delay back from L.A., they were waiting on two people from a Las Vegas flight that got delayed from weather, but they didn't have enough crew to get anybody else out of LAX.
Yeah.
We got to get with
there's
those
no
people.
There's no margin.
And so they just and that there's one airline in particular, and I won't say their name on the air, but there's one that is almost 100% drama rate for me lately.
Is it American? That was mine.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I won't say their name, but yes.
Yeah,
America.
That was mine.
Here's how
dumb I am. So I get on the plane. I haven't flown anything but Southwest in recent memory. And I'm like, I'm going to Florida. I'm so excited. And they're like, hey, if you want to sign up for the American Airlines Black Card, we're going to give you 60,000 miles. You can fly anywhere in the country. I sign up for it and then have the worst experience ever where I'll never go back to America. Now I got an American Express Black Card I don't even need. So
I had a lot of a good experience with American all through the past. And we go to Texas enough that, I mean, that's really the only way. You could fly Southwest into Love Field, but DFW is American.
Yeah.
And you know, so I got to still use them, but I don't know.
Speaking of personnel, if you guys, I just read this last night for the first time. Quiet quitting. Has anyone read that?
No.
It's kind of what it sounds like. It is not quitting your job, been doing as little as humanly possible at your job.
For as long as you can.
Yes.
Receiving a paycheck, but almost quitting the actual
job. And it's a thing called quiet quitting.
Huh. Like just like forcing them to fire you, basically?
Not even so much that. Just trying to get away with doing as little work as you possibly can.
And maybe you find something else or something.
Because people are in such need of people that you just hide as much as you can, do as little as you possibly can, and if you end up getting fired, you end up getting fired.
Wow. Must be nice to have
one way
option.
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's probably even easier in telecommuting days, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. For sure.
You got something and you think, I can do that pretty quick, uh-huh. and you maybe finish what you're supposed to do, but don't reveal that it's finished, and then take another 3 days to quote-unquote get
there
it done.
Go. That's
and,
probably yeah. more what they were talking yeah. about.
I never understand the people that are in the position that's like, if I lose my job, I lose my job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I agree.
How are you going to live then? That was what I was going to bring up earlier when we were talking about like the great resignation turning into the great regret and stuff. With all the staffing shortages still going on, I just asked, like, how are people surviving? How are people just...
They're getting paid.
Not
they're,
having
I mean, most
jobs.
States get... A lot of states, they get paid the equivalent of $14, $15 an hour to stay home. Mm. Still, it's still being, you know, hey, this is the economic recovery. We're going to keep people at home. I mean, honestly, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's start the Sweet 16. This is the Sweet 16. It's a little weird. Of villains who you kind of root for. So this can be television, movies, literature, just... And it could be a terrible villain, but you kind of like them. There's yeah. just something about them. They're just kind of charming. So let's start with Skip.
Number one for me was as easy as can be, as my favorite character in the whole thing. There's one thing that happened late in this series that made it worse and harder, but I'm just a huge Darth Vader fan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I loved Darth Vader. Now, when they had, like, the prequels came, and then he killed all the kid Jedis.
Yes.
That's when I stopped. But, like, the first three, he's my favorite character by far. Yeah. I loved it. I mean, I was rooting for him, and I knew that the Emperor was the ultimate evil, and it yeah. was cool. And it was cool when he turned good in the end, but, I mean, I was just a massive Vader fan.
Yeah.
Skip sees the genocide. Like, now this yeah. I cannot get behind.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as he starts killing the kids.
He kind of lost me here on Earth.
And I think George Lucas did that because too many people liked him.
Because too many people. It was yeah. their favorite character.
Yeah. Rich.
Okay, so no judgment, right?
No.
Hannibal Lecter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think that's a classic.
Yeah.
He's people love to watch
he's
him.
He's quite charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, my favorite Lecter movie is Hannibal, the one when he's in Italy.
Yeah.
And he is some sort of a docent at this art museum. And I know he's going to end up eating people, but I could have just watched the whole movie with him just being happy.
Yeah.
He was like drinking coffee and getting perfume. And it's like, just do that. Just.
And the last line of Silence of the Lambs when he's having an old friend for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody cracks oh, yeah. up laughing as can be. I mean,
and the fava beans.
Who cares if the guy's an idiot? He's going to die and yeah. we're all thrilled with it.
Rach, you're a Monk fan, right?
My dad is a big Monk fan.
Nick, we're on vacation. He goes, did you know that James Gum from Silence of the Lambs is Monk's boss? I'm like, yeah, I knew that. Like, he didn't put...
I'm more of a Tony Shalhoub fan yeah, than I am too. A Monk fan. Just in general.
Trish.
I'm going with Tony Soprano.
Great one.
Good oh,
one.
Yeah.
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 Because yeah. everybody loves... I mean...
That's really great.
Totally rooted for him to do all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
I will say Godzilla.
Ooh, good one.
It's cute.
Because, you know, no one's rooting against Godzilla, even
right.
when he was the bad guy
yeah,
smashing
he's
up buildings.
Smashing buildings. And
you're like, get him.
Yeah. yeah. He's usually coming back smashing buildings while he's defeating yet another bad monster. So it's like.
Very true.
Yeah. He sort of took on.
The only way we can kill the really bad monster is to destroy our everything in this. In the
yeah. Back. He kind of took on the anti-hero yeah. thing. But in a yeah. few movies, he's just like the villain, but it's like, not really.
Yeah. When he killed all the young Jedis, that guy.
Yeah, that's what all the young hatchlings.
This should be the winner. Wiley Coyote.
That's mine, too. That was my next one. Yeah, absolutely.
I
absolutely
hated the Roadrunner.
I did, too.
Just
so bad.
What a dick. I'll tell you guys about Throttlehead.
So bad.
Well,
4:53 DGS Sweet 16 brought to you by Weber Chevrolet. Skip is here as always doing the Sweet 16 of villains you can't help but like or love a little bit. What do we have so far to give him an idea?
So far, we have Darth Vader, Tony Soprano, Wile E. Coyote, Godzilla, and Hannibal.
Okay. Whose turn?
Skip.
Right.
I wish so bad that you still watched Walking Dead, because I'm going to say Negan.
I don't know.
Did anybody watch Walking Dead?
I did for like the first two or three seasons, yeah. And then I just, okay. I don't know why I dropped off.
We won't do that. I just think he's one of the coolest characters. Let me piggyback on your Wile E. Coyote and say Sylvester the Cat.
Okay.
I hated Tweety Bird every bit as much as I hated the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Sylvester.
And they knew that, right? Don't you think the people who made it?
People, there was a whole bunch of them.
What's there to love about Tweety, really?
Yeah.
Other than he was scared.
He was cute.
Well, yeah, uh-oh. Cute and scared, but. Yeah.
He saw a putty tat.
Yeah. I don't know. There was a, I mean, that 30s and 40s has a ton that are not even well known of those cats or wolves or foxes just getting wailed on, trying to catch something.
You've done some
just
thinking about this.
Get something
no, I mean, I just grew up watching it, yeah. and it wouldn't make me turn the channel because I wanted to watch all the Bugs Bunny cartoons anyway. But those were my least favorite ones, and I just, you know, come on, eat the bird and go on and let Yosemite Sam come back.
Eat the bird.
Oh, is it time for a break?
Yeah.
Gosh, that was a short one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.